Middle school sucks. I don't know about you, but I was chased around, I was picked on, I was beaten up by people that I thought were my friends, and I could not wait to be out of middle school. And so when I got to high school, ninth grade was a dream. It was a new school, I had new friends, it was a fresh start, it was everything I wanted it to be. And ninth grade just went by so quickly and so wonderfully. And that summer after ninth grade, me and my best friend Will were sitting around trying to figure out what we were going to do that day. And I come from Kent County on the eastern shore of Maryland, and there's not that much to do in Kent County. I come from a place called Galena, Maryland, and the nearest supermarket is 18 miles away. So we're sitting around trying to figure out what to do, and perhaps because of the lack of options, we decided that we would get on our bicycles and we would ride 4 miles up to this place that was a gas station, a restaurant, and a hunting store. And we were going to buy a large bottle of black powder. This is what we were going to do because we were going to have some fun with it. We had plans. And so we bought this black powder. This was 1998. We were 14 years old and therefore legal. It was legal for us to purchase this in the state of Maryland. And we put it in a plastic bag on the handlebars and rode it 4 miles home to my grandmother's house. And we got down into her basement where there were no adults around. And we decided that we were going to build our own bottle rockets. And so we got these little coin wrappers and we would put a coin in the top of the wrapper. We put a fuse in the bottom and we'd fill it up with black powder, take it outside, set it on the level surface and light it. And it would go pshoo up into the air and 10, 15 feet, and it was like our own little bottle rockets. It was kind of cool for young teenage boys. And we did that for about 45 minutes or so and kind of got bored with it. So we went back into the basement and we're starting to pack things up. And my buddy Will says, "Hey, Sam, watch this. This is pretty cool." And he poured a little bit of the black powder on top of the vice grip on my grandfather's workbench, metal vice grip. And he lit it on fire and it went, "Foosh." And we were like, "Okay, that's kind of cool, I guess." And then he put another one on there and did it again. And he's like, "Well, what do you think of that?" And I was like, "Oh, that's cool too, but we should really be getting going." So I started to walk towards the door, and I turned around. He said, "Stop, wait, let me just do one more." So he pours that last one on the vice grip. And he didn't realize that as he'd been pouring these, he spilled a little bit along the workbench. And so he lit it, and it went foosh, and it didn't stop. It kind of went down the side of the vice grip and along the top of the workbench. And he couldn't see this from where he was standing because the vice grip was right here in front of him and it was kind of happening down there. But I could from where I was. And it all happened in less than a half a second. It went down the vice grip, across the top of the workbench, and up the side. It flamed up high enough up the side of this large plastic bottle of black powder that had no lid on the side of it. In the movies, an explosion kind of leaves like this big crater, like a big smoldering crater, right? And there's nothing else around. And that wasn't quite what happened. It was maybe because it was black powder instead of proper gunpowder. I don't know. I guess we were kind of lucky in that. But it was like a loud, instantaneous fireball coming at me. And it was like, foosh, like that. And then it was over. And in that split second that I had, I got my arm up. So I kind of squinted and got my arm up and got my eyes closed. And I watched this wall of fire come at me. And then it was just black. There was so much smoke. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't breathe. I ran up the stairs into my grandmother's house thinking that Will was right behind me. And I turned around and he wasn't. And so I held my breath and I ran back down inside looking for him. And as it turned out, he'd gone out the side door, up one of those basement stairs from the outside into the yard. But he thought the same thing about me. So we were bumbling around in there, breathing in all this smoke. And we finally got out. And, my face was red and blistered, but his face was black. And I remember my grandmother taking him into the bathroom and splashing some water on his face. And I remember pieces of his face coming off into the sink. And they called the ambulance, and two ambulances came, and I got into one, and he got into the other one, and got to the emergency room. You've got second-degree burns, partially third-degree on your face and your chin, your forehead. But thankfully, my arm had caught the most of it, so I just lost a bunch of hair and, you know, had some burns in my arm and stuff, and not right in the middle of them, like my eyes. It looked kind of like reverse Superman, in that there was like a mask of white across my face. And Will, he was admitted to a burn center and spent a week there. He had damage from inhaling the smoke in his lungs, damage in his eye from seeing that blast up close, and third-degree burns all over his head. Part of me wanted to be mad at him, but how could I be? I mean, he didn't know this was going to happen. It was an accident, and he was hurt way worse than I was. And that's not where it ended, because when we went back to school a month or so later, we got to school. This was 1998. It was a couple years after the Unabomber. It was pre-Columbine and pre-9/11, thank God. But we were known as, the frame of reference was, the Unabomber. So I went back to school as Sammy the Unabomber, which was just so soul-crushing for me and for Will, too. And I'd gone, felt like I'd come so far. I'd started fresh. And now I was Sammy the Unabomber. And that's what I heard everywhere I went. That summer, after sophomore year, I applied for the same summer job I had for years, and they wouldn't have me back. I later found out it was because they were worried that I was going to blow the place up. And I spent that summer in a funk. I spent most of that year in this kind of low-level funk. And when I went back to school, I had this realization, this idea just hit me all of a sudden. There's a line in that show Mad Men where Don Draper says, if you don't like what people are saying about you, change the conversation. I realized that it couldn't get any worse. So why not do whatever I wanted to do? So I grew out these big mutton chop sideburns, in part to hide some of the redness on my face that was lingering from all that, but also because why not? I got into, you know, the late 60s and early 70s music scene. So I started wearing tie-dye shirts and pink bell-bottoms and these crazy outfits. I grew my hair out. And slowly, month by month, fewer and fewer people called me the Unabomber, and more people started talking about Sam the hippie guy and what's this guy all about. And by the end of high school, I was one of two guys who were voted the most popular guys in high school. And when I think about that whole journey, it changed my life. I've spent the last 20 years looking at people who are ostracized, people who are cast out and looked down upon for no good reason, and really trying to help relate to them and look at them in a different way, because I was one of them, and in some small way for a small period of my life, but if I hadn't been blown up, I wouldn't be who I am today. Thank you.